would happen, a magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer related from a variety of different perspectives.
Today, we are going to talk about traveling while trans and all of the exciting things that come along with that. And I think, C, you want to start off sharing some of your experiences, because you just had a really recent experience with traveling that had all kinds of exciting twists and turns.
Did. yeah, it was a very long and kind of a weird experience between the two. First I was able to take a trip out to Seattle. And so flying out there was a little bit different than some traveling I've done in the past, just because I kept my facial hair, and I don't have any documents changed either, because Illinois doesn't offer a gender-neutral option for identification.
Okay, so do you normally shave to travel?
I usually would, or at least, like, trim it down. But then I also, like, wear headphones and just kind of walk through. Like, I don't know. I feel like they don't really look that hard for that. You know, like, if you look like your photo, like, I don't feel like I've changed all that much. I would also put my hair down, because my hair is down in my driver's license. So that's a little bit easier for me to kind of, like, fake the system, I guess, a little bit. But I haven't had any experiences with, like, TSA or anything like that. But I have had bathroom experiences. I could not find a, like, family restroom or, like, a single stall one. And I really had to pee. And I just was very obvious the way that I was getting red was not going to work in a female restroom. So I just kind of put my head down and text you about it and went into the men's room. But I definitely felt that at the airport, it would be different than anywhere else because it's so busy and people are literally just running in and running out. So I didn't really experience anything negative in, like, that regards. And then just, like, being in Seattle around, like, all the queer people, it was kind of like it wasn't in the back of my mind anymore. Like, I really didn't think about what restroom, like, I was still using the female facilities, or I found a lot more, like, gender neutral or single stall places as well, but that wasn't really in the forefront of my mind.
Seattle is great for that.
Right? Yeah. No, it definitely was. It was definitely an eye-opening experience there. But then I left Seattle and flew down to New Orleans for a week, and that was very different. It was definitely going from that very queer space in Seattle and then going down kind of, like, south. I was like, oh, yeah. This is, like, it reminded me more of, like, where I'm from, like, in the Midwest kind of thing. So I did have a very negative experience in New Orleans. I was with my dad and my stepmom for a couple days before my sister came out. And so we were just spending time ourselves. And it was already kind of awkward because, like, they know I'm trans, but we hadn't talked about it, and, like, we are still, like, it wasn't awkward in that regards. It was just awkward because I was presenting how I've wanted to be presenting for a while now and didn't, like, hide that. And so it was difficult from seeing how the outside was perceiving me while I was in their presence, kind of thing, because I knew that it was new for them. And then to have that shock on top of how other people are going to address me, you know, or what pronouns they may use, was definitely different. But there was a moment that we had been out walking around Jackson Square, and there's public restrooms in that area. Really weird. Like, sometimes there's like a bathroom attendant standing out there that'll hand you like a mint, but they're not nice bathrooms. They're just regular like public bathrooms. But there's also like this office that's all glass that's for like tours. And so the attendants work in there. And so it, like, they could see into the entrances, and it's very, you know, it's binary. Males go this way, females go that way. And we walked in, all three of us together. My dad goes into the men's, and I go with my stepmom into the women's, because that's what I do and because I know where I'm comfortable at. And so we leave, and we're standing outside getting ready to walk back down the street, and a bathroom man comes running out of his little glass box and says, "Excuse me," and like basically chases us down the street. And so we turn around, and he said, "Oh, I noticed you went into the women's restroom." And I just said, "Yeah." He said, "You can't do that."
And what did you say?
I said, "Yes, I can." And then my stepmom like put her hand on my shoulder and was like, "She's a girl." And I had so many other things that I could have said, like, after the fact, obviously. But I did say, like, because I was just so angry and just so embarrassed and just, like, so many emotions, you know. I said, "No, I can read. I know where I belong." Like, and then he made a really weird comment that I didn't even process until after. He said, "Well, you know, with everything going on, we really have to be careful about who's going into the bathroom," or something. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I was very confused. I didn't know if he meant, like, assaults in the bathroom or... I don't know, but it was also just very strange because you saw us all walk in together, and, you know, like, you would think my father very masculine, my stepmom very feminine. They split, and I follow one. I just don't understand, like, the thought process of someone being like, they really didn't know where they were.
But more importantly, to allow you, you know, he let you go to the bathroom, you used the restroom, and then you left. And it wasn't until you left that he did something about it, which at that point, let's say you were a threat. Your threat is over with because you just left.
Yeah. Unless you, like, did you go in and check the bathroom, make sure no one's like, you know, it was just a very, like, jarring experience that really reminded me, like, oh shit, yeah, I guess this is something that I really need to start, like, thinking about more than I already had before. Like, because I don't go out. Like, that's just not part of the lifestyle that I really live. So, you know, when I use the restroom, it's at work, where I've been working for 2 years, or it's at home, you know, and that's about it. So I don't really have to, like, think about my presence so much. But now that my presentation has been more masculine, like, I'm not welcome in the female spaces anymore.
At this point, because you had been not wanting to use the male restroom because you didn't feel comfortable there, but now at this point, it's like you're not feeling comfortable in the women's room either, because when's the next time you're going to get called out? When's the next time somebody in the restroom is going to say something to you? That's got to feel pretty, like, scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also don't want to make anybody else feel comfortable or uncomfortable with my presence.
Sure.
You know.
But let's talk about you instead.
I love you, dude. Because
ultimately, this is supposed to be about your comfort first. You know, I totally get not wanting to make anybody else uncomfortable. But at this point, like, the person that's being harmed the most is you. Because, like, again, not only did he call you out, but he waited till you were done. So that was just, like, whatever his intention was, it just, I think, translates to more of, like, he went out of his way to embarrass you or make you uncomfortable. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize, that, like, the type of shame and embarrassment that you're going to give somebody, like somebody's going to feel when you call something like that out. And like you were just explaining, your dad went one way and your stepmom went another way and you followed one of those parents. And so the hope would be that people would trust that you know, you're going where you are meant to go or where you are supposed to be going. And unless you have done something inside the restroom to like literally harm someone or something, I mean, what you peed? Did you hurt the toilet?
No, I don't think there was any hurting those toilets more than had already been done.
Okay, so like the toilet's fine. I mean, there were no victims here except for you. So, you know.
No, I definitely agree with all that. And I just really think that people need to step back and realize like we know where we're supposed to be. And I know it comes down to their uncomfortableness, but if they could just remove themselves from the situation a little bit and realize that, like, trust me, trans people are usually hyper aware of what facilities they're going to be walking into. Are they going into a gendered clothing store where all the men's clothes are on one side and all the females are on the other side? And then the attendant says, oh, the female clothes, like, the girls' clothes are over here. You know, like, we're very hyper aware, I think, especially non-binary people, of gendered spaces that we walk into. So just trust us that we're in the space that makes us the most comfortable. And if we make you that uncomfortable, then walk out and find a different bathroom. Yeah. Because the fact that there aren't single stalls, there's not family bathrooms or not handicap bathrooms, you know, that readily accessible. So I'm going to do what I want to do. Just leave me alone.
Exactly. And it's not our problem that nobody's building the gender neutral facilities or a single stall. Like, if that was an option and you chose to go into the men's or the women's, then, you know, not to say that you deserve to be questioned ever. No one deserves that. But at least I would say, okay, I'll give you like this much room to question this because there is another option. Mm-hmm. But when there's no option, it's like a setup for a failure then, because what the hell are you supposed to do? Are you going to pee your pants? Absolutely not. Like, and I think, you know, you're talking about being hyper aware, like me, even as a person who does identify within the binary and does present as very masculine. And I wager to say most people are not going to necessarily guess that I was born differently. I still am super, super aware when I go into the men's room. No matter what, I am still anxious. It doesn't matter. Like, I look at my face in the mirror. I see my face. I see my facial hair. I know nobody's looking at me, but I'm still like, oh my God, oh my God. Am I supposed to be in here? Is this okay? Is somebody going to say something? So it's not like, the point is like, we're all very aware of how uncomfortable it is for us. So don't make it worse. Don't make it more uncomfortable.
Right? Exactly. Just let us pee in peace.
Yeah. And because you mentioned Seattle, like, that was something that it made a huge, like, positive difference for me living there when I began my transition, because, you know, almost every public restaurant or place has, if they have a bathroom, they have either a single stall or a neutral or whatever. And so even when I did, I was very, like, you know, in the middle stages of kind of being, oh, you could be female, you could be male, I have no idea what you are, like that sort of stage of the hormones, like no one ever gave me an issue because like there was no option. Like nobody, first of all, nobody cared, but second of all, like there was always someplace safe for me to go. And because you're talking about the airport too, the same thing, I always will seek out, even now, I seek out a family restroom or a gender neutral restroom at the airport or wherever. Mostly because they're cleaner usually, but also because like I don't want that extra anxiety of just like, okay, is today gonna be the day? Like,
yep.
Even though, like I said, I probably don't need to worry about it all that much, which is, you know, a privilege I have, but I still do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think trying to set like it sucks because we have to really give up our comfort for other people, like you were just trying to talk about.
No, yeah, I mean, it does obviously suck. What is nice that there are some resources, you know, coming out. Ash from Discovering Gender told me about, it's an app called bathroom refuge or restroom refuge or something like that that will plot, you know, it's just like a Google map, show you where you're at, and then show any gender neutral or single stall or family restrooms that are in your area that are public access. And so then you can go through and add locations. Like if your coffee shop is just a single stall, you can put, hey, at this coffee shop, it's a single stall, like unisex restroom. You know, you can add their hours. You can, so you could, it's really like a community driven effort that if you find one, you can upload it. And then more people who are seeking that have more options.
That's awesome.
Well, so, and I'm sure there's other things like that as well. That's just the only one that I've personally like downloaded and used.
Yeah. So I know Yelp has started adding, like they have a section, a restroom area where you can, you know, I don't know who fills it in, if it's like the business owner or what, but you know, I've started to notice sometimes when I look for places to eat around here, it'll say like parking, yes or no. And then underneath it says restroom, and it's been super hit or miss. Like let's say 2 out of 10 times that I've looked up a place, it's actually had an answer as far as the restroom.
Okay.
But it seems like they're trying to actually get that information there. So I don't know how it works, but like, yeah, I've definitely seen some where it says, you know, gender neutral, or it says, you know, men's and women's or something like that. So it at least gives you a heads up of what to expect, which is good. I think that it would be nice to have that, have an app that really has all that information.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a little easier.
Right.
So what are some of the other things that you've done traveling that have helped, maybe outside of the bathroom?
Something that I do always do is I travel, like, if I'm going to be gone long enough that I need my testosterone, I'll travel with my, I will take all three of my prescription, like, printout. I'll take my testosterone and then the ones for the syringes and the needles as well. And I just, like, put everything together. I don't know. I'm paranoid that that's just the thing that will set someone off, you know, is, like, needles in a bag. And I know that, like, you know, diabetics and there's so many other, like, medical things. I'm just paranoid like that, especially on top of me not having my documents changed. I feel like it's just, like, an extra step of protection that I kind of give myself as well. So I can kind of explain it, you know?
I do, yeah, I do the same thing. I bring the prescription bottle, so it has my name on it, everything's labeled, and then I will, you know, I'll only bring the amount of needles I actually need plus, like, one, so that there's an extra, but I won't bring, like, a whole bunch just so that it doesn't look suspicious in any which way. And then I've had an instance where at the airport I've been questioned pre-changing my documents. I was, like, questioned, you know how they change? Some of the airports have that thing where you walk in and they select male or female gender.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that, and I guess they selected male, and then I went through and they were, like, questioning me. They were just kind of like, we have to check you or something. They didn't ask me anything outright, but they were like, we have to check you further. And I was like, that's fine. And then they were like, there was something on your scan, blah, blah. And they, like, you know, patted me down or whatever, and they had a male do it. So I thought that was interesting because they were still seeing mm-hmm. me as male. They were just super confused. And then afterwards, because I wanted to just, like, kind of alleviate and end the situation, I just simply said, like, I'm not sure what you're seeing, but just a heads up, like, I'm trans, so I wasn't born male, so, like, I don't... And he go, oh, okay, no problem, go ahead. And he just, like...
You know, was this before, like, top surgery or after?
This was after top surgery.
Okay.
Before any other surgeries, and mm-hmm. I was not very... I didn't have facial hair, I was not... I wouldn't say I was, you know, passing, so to speak. Like, I looked very, like, androgynous, mostly just bloated, but so I looked, you know, I wouldn't say that you would look at me and think one way or the other. It was kind of hit or miss what somebody would read it as. So had top surgery, hadn't changed any of my documents, very beginning stages of hormones, like maybe 3 or 4 months. And yeah, so once I had just sort of given him, I don't want to say like an explanation, but once I had just kind of given him information about myself, it put to rest what their concern was, because I'm assuming they were thrown off as to, like, oh, top surgery, but what's going on down there type thing. Cause mm-hmm. they can see the outlines, I believe. Right.
Yeah. It's, well, I don't know exactly how it works, but
yeah,
Yeah, it highlights certain areas.
Right, right. So, yeah, so once I just kind of gave him that information and was, you know, calm and relaxed about it, he, like, just moved me along and was like, no problem, go ahead, because he was trying to figure out what was going on. And I don't think it was because he was, like, trying to figure out if I was trans or something, but I think he was just making sure everybody was safe, like, I wasn't doing something wrong. So I think just finding it, like, if it's possible to have that type of comfort of just, like, being able to give that information, that can sometimes, in my experience, like, just expedite the process and also just alleviate it. And then after my phalloplasty, when I flew from San Francisco back to Seattle, the same thing happened. I had a catheter in, and I couldn't actually get out of the wheelchair to go through the thing. So they had me go, like, through a special one or whatever, and he was like, we need to pat you down. And, like, first of all, I couldn't have him touch me there because, like, pat there because the amount of pain I was in and, like, whatever. So I had no choice but to sort of say something. So I just said to him, like, again, like, I'm trans. I just had surgery. I just had bottom surgery, or, I, you know, I don't know if I said bottom or lower. I said I had, you know, lower surgery, whatever. I have a catheter in. I'm in a lot of pain, whatever. So, you know, I can't have you pat there. If there's a private room we can go to, I'm happy to, like, do whatever precautions need to be done. But, like, you know, this is just the bottom line. And I actually had a doctor's note also. So I didn't actually even have to show the doctor's note. Once I explained that, they just kind of padded around my that area, and that was it, and they let me go. And, you know, there weren't any weird questions. There wasn't anything that was uncomfortable. The discomfort was, like, purely just my own discomfort. So, yeah, I think that the more that we can just find the comfort and, like, the confidence to share those things when it's necessary, my experience has been that it makes it a lot easier. But I also know that's not safe for everybody. So if there's another way, sometimes, like, having a letter or just having a handwritten, like, having a typed out note that you can hand them versus having to verbally say, I'm trans, makes it a lot easier. I think it's just really about figuring out what works for, like, everybody individually. But definitely. Those that work nicely for me, especially when your documents aren't done, because, you know, I know that, of course, there are a lot of terrible people who want to hurt us and make us, you know, upset or whatever. But in most cases, I think when it comes to situations like security situations, their goal is not necessarily to hurt us. It's more of to just make sure that everything is running the way it's supposed to be. And so when, you know, making that a little bit easier, if you hand them an ID that doesn't match the way you look or you know, any of that stuff, they're going to be skeptical. And it's not necessarily because we're trans and they don't like that, but more of, like, they have a job to do. It's a security center. Like, so we have to give them that grace at least to, like, you know, do their job, I guess.
All right. And their job probably really sucks as well.
Yeah. It's got to be hard. I mean, also I try to think of it on the flip side. If I imagine myself, if I was a TSA person and I had to sit there and guess everybody's gender all day and I had to put them in categories, hope I was right, you know, it's got to be tough to, like, also have to make those calls. And then also when somebody doesn't match up with what you're choosing for them, to then have to backtrack and be like, hey, I don't know how to say this, but, like, are you male identified or female? You know, like,
you know, I wonder if they get any trans, like, 101 training.
Yeah.
You know, that would be interesting. Book us.
Right. We'll teach you. But yeah, so I think, you know, like, we went back to this in another episode, but just, like, setting yourself up for that success. Like,
no, definitely. I would say that I do the same, because my documents aren't changed. Like, anytime I hand it over, I'm prepared to have that conversation.
Yes.
You know, like, my entire security line is spent, like, pumping myself, just being prepared of what they could ask or what they may be looking at or something like that as well.
Totally. Totally. And I think also, though, by you preparing that, like, a lot of the time it doesn't happen. So then you're like, oh, awesome. But then also when it does happen, like you said, like, you're prepared and it's less of a blow, because if you're expecting it, it's not as, like, traumatizing that it's happening. You can just, like, move through it. You know how to handle it, and then, you know, move on.
Definitely.
Next step.
Next, please.
Thank you. Next. I wanted to also share, like, for people who don't have their driver's license updated or whatever, in most cases, it's pretty easy to ask your hormone prescribing doctor to write you a letter saying that, like, you're going to be traveling, you are, you know, male or female identified, though born differently than that, and, you know, your documents aren't changed, but, and just have the doctor kind of write that. I had that done for my first traveling time, too. My first or second. Oh, it was my second, because I didn't want to have to explain like I did the first time. So I had him do that for the second time. So I think most doctors would be willing to do something like that too. So that's another option where you can have somebody else explain for you in a letter, and you're just handing it over, and you are kind of like hands off as far as having to go out of your way to disclose anything.
Well, and that way you're also not verbally outing yourself in front of hundreds of strangers that could potentially hear as well. I think that's also something as, you know, like, it's our business, but when it becomes, like, when you're in public domain like that, like, I feel like everybody's hyper-aware and, like, the security lines and TSA and stuff. Everybody's watching everybody. Who's taking off their shoes?
Yeah, because there's nothing else exciting going on. Everybody has to stare and judge and question. So, yeah, everybody's listening. So, yeah, letter is nice because you don't have to out yourself to the entire security line. Yeah, those are pretty much mine. I like the buddy system for the bathroom. Like,
yes.
I did that a lot for the beginning of my transition. Like, you know, have somebody go with me if I could, or if there was no, you know, other male person with me or male identified person with me. Blair has definitely stood outside restrooms before for me. So I think, you know, even if you don't have somebody who identifies the same gender as you to go in with you, having somebody just wait nearby or right outside can be comforting, because, you know, there's safety right there. So that, yeah, I really benefited from doing that. Yeah, I think those are my, like, big ones that I really took advantage of.
I like them.
Thanks.
They're really good. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Transitional Wisdom. If you feel you'd like to share your story, or if there's a topic you would like us to cover, please email us at nash@transitionalwisdom.org or visit our website, transitionalwisdom.org. And please don't forget to like, share, rate, whatever. It really helps us reach a wider audience of people who may find this helpful. And hey, thanks.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me? Don't you dare. Who knew I was